Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from a late but gloomy afternoon in Vancouver, where I'll be speaking across the globe again, this time with Christina Johnson, who is the Director of Medical Education at Monash Health in Melbourne, Australia, and where she's also conducting PhD studies through the University of Melbourne. I asked Christina to speak with me today because she and her co-authors have a paper coming out in the June issue of Medical Education entitled Psychological Safety and Feedback, What Does It Look Like and How Can Educators Foster It? Christina, you have your hands full with clinical work and educational work and your own PhD studies, so I'm very impressed that you managed to find half an hour to chat with me.
Obviously, I'm very pleased to be invited. Thank you.
I hope things are going well with your PhD. I actually didn't ask you before we got online. Is this early or late in terms of the number of studies towards your progress?
I'm going to submit pretty soon, so pretty late on. I've got 4 published papers and a chapter, so hopefully that will be sufficient.
Fantastic. That does sound very close. Nice to see the light at the end of the tunnel. This particular work, as the title implies, is about psychological safety and what it looks like and how educators can foster it is the subtitle. But before we get to any of that, I think I need to ask you to explain to our listeners what it is, let alone what we might do with it.
So we use Edmondson, who's a psychologist, sort of definition of psychological safety, which she talked about as a sort of shared belief between 2 people in their relationship, that it was safer interpersonal risk-taking, which creates a sense of confidence that the other person won't embarrass, reject, or punish you due to mutual respect and trust. Obviously, that's a bit wordy, but I think it really does capture that idea of somebody having your best interests at heart, ideas around trust, around the fact that somebody's, you know, wanting to be your ally and working closely with you, which, yeah, is obviously crucial for people if you want them to be open and engaged in learning with you.
And can I ask you to elaborate on that last bit somewhat? Why is this becoming such a central topic within the realm of education and feedback specifically?
I think it's, if we think about feedback being, particularly face-to-face feedback, which is what I've been looking into, if we think of it as an interactive learning dialogue, that idea that you want the learner to be talking a lot, to be really engaged actually in learning, so the whole point is for them to use that discussion to get a better idea about what they're supposed to be doing, what they've already done, and how that compares with that sort of target performance, and then what can they do differently and how can they go forward and try and do it better. If we think that that's the objective of feedback discussion, then what you want is to learn to be reflecting on, using their own judgment about what they might have had difficulties with, asking questions around, you know, things they don't understand, proposing ideas about how they might fix it themselves, all those sort of reflective, active learning activities. And you want the discussion between the learner and the educator, where the educator is sort of prompting all of this and showing interest and showing care and offering advice, and then you want them sort of bouncing ideas around. So the educator might make a suggestion that's maybe the learner's tried it before or they've had a problem trying to implement it. And so I think it's that combination of the learner trying to undertake what we've called sort of productive learning behaviours with an educator, and that collaboration and that sort of co-construction of ideas and knowledge and plans. So I guess the other point around that is the fact that when you think about it, the reason that learners don't immediately jump in with really being candid and telling you all the problems that they've had is that they're obviously nervous that an educator might give them a lower mark, or if they're going to talk about something that the educator hadn't realized that they got wrong, or I guess in that hierarchy thing where you're going to get somebody criticizing you or humiliating you. So I guess all those learning behaviours have a risk. And from what we've done, we think that probably psychological safety is the reason that you get the difference between somebody who feels comfortable in really focusing on learning and therefore exposing themselves to that risk versus somebody who's really just being told what to do by an educator and keeping completely quiet.
So what was it that motivated this particular project in terms of that concept is becoming increasingly well established? We need to think more carefully about how we do create educational alliances with our learners. Mm. Was there something missing from the field or from your experience that led you to believe that the data you collected for this project were important to collect?
Yeah. So as part of the PhD, one of the things we've been developing is trying to almost sort of distill the essential ingredients of effective feedback, if there is such a thing, and try and look at what might be the components of effective feedback and how can an educator really work with a learner to help them most effectively. And I guess this is really what drove the PhD when I first started studying feedback. And as an educator, I wanted to know more about sort of what was the basis for what experts recommended and also exactly what could I do that might help. So that's really what the PhD has been about, trying to identify what the underlying sort of theories and maybe some evidence that supports some of these components, but particularly looking at practical ideas. So with this feedback quality instrument or FQI that we've been working on, when we did psychometrics and did some other things, we realized that the items that we had that talked about psychological safety were sort of vague. They talked about respect and they talked about support, but what did that actually look like? And when we went back to the literature, again, we found fantastic ideas, as you've mentioned, the educational alliance and trust and promoting that educator-learner relationship. But we really struggled to find good practical ideas and dialogue about what that actually might look like. And that's how we, that's what started this research.
And that actually brings me to what I found to be a uniquely positive methodological approach that you took. In most circumstances, I think I can say with reasonable confidence, if somebody had that question, they would go off and talk to educators or to learners about what do educators do to make one feel safe. You actually gathered some videos to observe interactions and try to extract the sorts of observations that you were just describing. What led you down that route, and do you think it provided benefit that you might not have gotten otherwise in terms of what you're able to observe?
We originally got the videos actually as part of testing the feedback quality instrument. So we did an initial version and then collected the videos with a really diverse group of doctors, nurses and allied health from a whole range of different specialties, different levels of experience, etc. And therefore we had them. And I think one really positive aspect of this research is that before we'd used the videos to try and test our instrument and also to, I guess, analyze about what sort of things were educators doing. Did they commonly talk about, say, the target performance and how it should be done better? Did they actually ensure that the learner in them created an action plan? So sometimes that seemed sort of quite critical of people who are really trying their best and were obviously had very kindly allowed themselves to be videoed, or in fact videoed themselves. Whereas I think the one thing that's very nice about this research is that actually practical videos have actually informed the literature. So we knew that one of the things we'd noticed when we watched the videos is that the educators had really worked hard to try and create this sort of psychological safety, obviously some more than others. And therefore, it was fantastic to actually look at the videos and try and see when psychological safety seemed to have been created.
And what was it that allowed you to identify in a video whether or not psychological safety was achieved when you weren't talking with the learners themselves?
Mm. Absolutely. So obviously, we could only infer psychological safety, but some of the markers we looked at was for when a learner sort of increasingly became more open and engaged in more of these learning behaviors as the discussion went on. And we've certainly talked about this idea about a learner sort of dipping their toe in and that they did test the waters and see, you know, if I'm a little bit brave and how will that educator react? Will they be helpful and understanding and realize that we're focusing on learning, or will they ignore me or be critical? So what we look for is some of these moments, and particularly where, as I say, learners increasingly became more sort of open and engaged in learning. And then we looked for associated educator behaviours that seemed to create psychological safety. And we came up with sort of a number of different themes to report our sort of results. I guess we presented four themes. One was around setting the scene for the interaction, for dialogue and candour. second one was the idea around the educator as the ally, so offering support and assistance and reducing a power gap. The third one was around that focus on learning and understanding that when you're learning something, you're going to make mistakes and you're not going to know everything and get it right from the beginning. And the fourth one was really that focus on the educator getting interactive dialogue going. So asking the learner questions, exploring it further, and the interaction. So again, the idea of one person building on what the other person said and kicking an idea around till it was really good.
And so having seen those types of interactions in so much detail, for individuals to whom this doesn't necessarily come naturally, what would you advise people to work on to try to start making their own dialogues a bit more psychologically
safe? I think the main thing is thinking about how you can actually demonstrate safety and picking up on, I guess, what we called hints that the learner said. For me, I do quite a bit of work with doctor-patient communication skills workshops, and in that literature, there's quite a bit about a patient will mention something quite sort of low-key, and if the doctor picks it up and starts talking about it, I mean, asking them more questions and exploring it and showing some understanding of it, then again, the patient will talk a lot more. And I think it's incredibly similar with, I guess, it's any kind of power dynamic between an educator and a learner. So I guess from a practical point of view, once you've set up that session and talked about the fact that highlighting the purpose of feedback, that you're there to help them, that you want to help them get better, that you want to hear what they've got to say, that this is a learning discussion, you want to hear about their questions and what was difficult, and then you want to make a plan and, you know, do they have any suggestions? So negotiating that sort of agenda and outline. And then in the body of it, I think a lot of it's about really focusing on the learner almost. What do they want to talk about? What are the things that concern them? And obviously the educator using their expertise to guide that and suggest an alternative if they think it's more important, and to discuss between them. But some of the things we saw were definitely around, first of all, asking questions, exploring what the learner was saying in a lot more detail. And then obviously the more you understand a learner's mindset, the more you can make suggestions that are more targeted and might work for them. And then saying to them, well, you know, do you think that will work? What's the problem with that? What might be difficult about it? And so I think that very much that really concentrating on the learner and, you know, what are their priorities and how do they see things, I think is probably one of the key things we found.
And that leads me to ask one final question that might actually push a little bit beyond the data that you have in this particular paper, but with your emphasis on the feedback dialogue and recognizing that we have control of what we do as educators, but really it's in the true interaction mm-hmm. and the way that the learner responds mm-hmm. as well. Do you have any thoughts yet as to how we can help the learners engage in this type of dialogue? Or is it, from your perspective, really predominantly a matter of just the way the educator approaches it?
It's never going to be one-sided. Obviously, what you hope in interaction is that the two people, it's the mix of the two that bring the magic. And obviously, Liz Molloy, who's one of my supervisors, done lots of work with her teams around how can you give a learner tools to help them get involved, you know, get good feedback, etc. It just happens that my research focuses on the educator. But I guess what we're focusing on is how can the educator focus on the learner.
So I guess it all mixes together in some ways anyway, doesn't
yeah,
it?
No, yeah, I think that's right. I think it's sort of, it's, you know, you can't have one without the other. It is, the magic is the two of them together. And I guess what you need is both of them to have training and be skilled in how to make that a real dialogue focused on learning. So absolutely, and as I say, everything we do, although it's focused on the educator, is what's an idea of ways an educator can tailor for their own context, but how might they be able to focus on the learner and help that learner sort of unfurl and ask the questions that they're nervous of asking and help them take that next step?
That sounds all very sensible, and I look forward to the next paper called The Magic of Psychological Safety, because it, is a good note to end on. So I'll do that just by reminding our listeners that the paper we've been talking about is called Psychological Safety and Feedback: What Does It Look Like and How Can Educators Foster It? You'll find it with the first author, Christina Johnson, in the June 2020 issue of Medical Education. Christina, thank you very much, and good luck wrapping up these final stages of your PhD.
Thank you very much indeed.